But we're going to sing, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here."
Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We stand. Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. Thank you. Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
Going to now come to God's word. We're going to hear God's word read and then consider the message of God's word. Some of the children, you welcome to stay, but if you've got your Sunday kids club work you want to get on with, that'll be great. Louise is going to read for us now from Revelation chapter 1. If you've got a Bible, then it's right at the back of your Bibles, and to go to the first chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 1, and Louise is going to read from verse 9 to verse 20.
One like a son of man. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Thank you very much, Louise. Let's just pray as we come to hear God's word. Our Father God, we thank you that we have your word, and we have it written down and recorded. We have it translated into our own language, and we have many helps of scholars who have studied your word and know the original languages, who can help us to understand. And Father, we pray that as we come and hear the message of your word this morning, that you would open our hearts to receive this message, that as we hear your word, we would meet with Christ and know him speaking into our lives today, and that we would be ready to respond to him in a way that is right and honoring to him. Help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure every one of you must at some stage have played a game of word association. It's that game where someone says a word and then you have to come back quickly with a word that you associate with that particular word. So someone might say umbrella and you might say rain. Or if you're a little bit older, you might say Mary Poppins. Or if you're younger, you might say Rihanna. But what about Jesus? What are the first words of association that come to your mind if someone was to say to you the word Jesus? Perhaps you immediately think of a manger, thinking of his birth in Bethlehem. Maybe you think of a healer, thinking of those amazing miracles that Jesus did. Maybe you think of the word rabbi, considering Jesus' teaching. Or maybe you think friend, remembering how often Jesus seemed to enjoy eating meals together with people around him. Maybe you think of the cross, remembering that unjust and painful suffering and death of Jesus on Good Friday. Or maybe you think of the words, the empty tomb, considering the resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday. Well, those would all be reasonable responses to hearing the name Jesus. I think if you played that game of word association with the aging Apostle John after he'd received this vision that we've read of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, I think he would have responded differently. I think perhaps the first words that would have come into his mind and that he would have said would be something like glorious Lord, or more fully, glorious Lord of the church. I wonder whether you have such a place in your thinking about Jesus, for thinking of him as the glorious Lord, perhaps even first in your thinking. But first and foremost, today, Jesus is the glorious Lord of the church. Or maybe that's just too much of a challenge for you in the way that you want to live your life today. Do you call yourself a Christian, a believer in Jesus, but you really only want Jesus of the manger, a bit like a pet Jesus that you can pick up and cuddle to give you a bit of comfort when you're feeling down? Or you just really only want Jesus the miracle worker, a bit like a convenience store manager that's always open for you to go to when you're in your need? Well, Jesus certainly can help us emotionally when we are low. Jesus can meet our needs when they're real needs, and it's within his will that those needs should be met. But only is Jesus like that for us as his people, as we first and foremost acknowledge him to be the glorious Lord of his church. You see, that's who Jesus reveals himself to be in these words, or this vision that he gave to the Apostle John when John was in exile on the island of Patmos. And the first thing I want us to see here is that we see Jesus in this vision to be the great high priest of his church. In verses 12 and 13, we see that John, on hearing this voice behind him that sounds like a trumpet that's summoning him and that is commanding him to write down everything that he sees and to send it to the seven churches, John turns around to see this voice. And the first thing he sees is seven golden lampstands. That's all a bit strange, isn't it? He hears a voice, he turns around and sees seven golden lampstands. What's that all about? Well, John must have thought that he was looking into the heavenly holy place of the sanctuary of the Lord. If you think back to the book of Exodus, in the book of Exodus, after God rescued his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt, he took them to Mount Sinai and he gave them his law. And then through Moses, he gave Moses instructions about building an earthly sanctuary, the tabernacle, how that should be built, what it should be made of. But also he gave instructions about all the things that should be put within that tabernacle. And one of the things that should be put within that tabernacle was a golden lampstand. Actually, it was a lampstand that was seven in one. It was a lampstand, and on either side there were six branches, and on the top of each of branches and the main stem was to be put a lamp that could be lit. So we have a seven in one, a golden lampstand that was to be in the tabernacle, the sanctuary of the Lord in the Old Testament. In the Bible, seven is a symbolic number that corresponds to completeness. And so John is told in verse 20 of this reading that we just had that the seven lampstands that he now sees in the holy place of the Lord are the seven churches. The seven churches that he is to send the message to in the Roman province of Asia Minor. And those churches, it's as though John sees, are representing the church of Jesus Christ of all ages, right on until the time that Christ returns. And if we stop and think about that for a minute, think about the church. The church is precious. It's like gold, precious to God. And the church, even now, by God, is seen as being within his heavenly holy place. Actually near to God. That's how precious the church is to God. Gold and dwelling in his presence in the holy place of the heavenlies. We are counted as God's holy people today. How can we ever think that we can simply live our lives as we want today as Christians, as his church? Can you imagine someone coming out of Buckingham Palace and not representing in some way the majesty and the glory of the Queen? Well, we today dwell in God's presence as his church. How can we not be holy as God is holy, to represent him to the world like a shining light, a lamp that shines out the glory of God? You see, God is holy, and we, his people, are to be holy as God is holy, and to dwell in his presence and to represent him to the world as a holy people, like a lamp shining in the darkness of our world. Are you holy as God is holy? Do you understand your place as part of the church to be precious to God and to be near to God in the holy place? Well, having seen the lampstands, John's eyes focus upon a particular person who seems to be before the lamp or in the midst of the lamps. He sees someone like a son of man dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. Well, what's that all about? Well, if you think back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, one of the favourite ways Jesus had of referring to himself was as a son of man. On the one hand, son of man simply means human being. So Jesus was saying, yeah, I am fully human. But Jesus also took that phrase, son of man, because in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, it's the term that is used to describe the person to whom God gives all authority, glory, and sovereign power to rule over his everlasting kingdom. It's a term for the Christ, for God's King. So the one that John sees here amongst the lampstands in the holy place of God is the ascended Jesus Christ, the one who now reigns over all things for God as God's King. John sees here the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But strangely, he doesn't see the King upon a throne. That's where we'd normally expect to see a king sitting on a throne in all his glory and majesty. But he sees this king walking amongst the lampstands, or before the lampstands, his churches. And what's more, this king is not has got a crown on his head and a royal robe. He has a robe that reaches down to his feet and a golden sash around his robe. He's dressed as a priest. He's dressed as the highest of high priests. In the Old Testament, it was the work of the priest to go into the holy place and to tend to the lamps on the golden lampstand in the holy place. The priest was to make sure that the wicks were trimmed in order that there was nothing dead about them, that they would burn brightly. The priest was to make sure that the reserve of oil was always filled up so that the lamps would never go out. It was the priest's job to tend for the lampstands and the lamp. And Jesus, God's King today, is revealed here as the great high priest, the go-between between God and his people. But he is with his church. He is amongst his church. And he is tending to his church, providing for his church, making sure that his church is able to burn brightly, that it is fully supplied with the Holy Spirit in order to be a holy people, to shine the light of the glory of God into the world. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read this: "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." So what's this vision that John has as Jesus, as the great high priest of the church, among his church, tending to his church, to do for us today? It's to encourage us to hold on to the faith that we have. Maybe today, as God's people, we are struggling. Maybe you're struggling, feeling downtrodden. Maybe you're despairing because of sickness or ill health in your life. Maybe your circumstances are poor, your job is not certain for the future. Maybe you're being opposed for your Christian faith, maybe by even those who are close to you. Maybe you're being sorely tempted by Satan to give it all up. Well, as Christians, we don't need to give it all up, because we have a great high priest who is tending for his church, who is making sure his church is kept and supplied for all its needs to be able to be a holy people and to shine brightly for God in a dark world, however difficult it is in this world to live as God's people. Don't give up. Don't think that you can't be changed to be holy. Don't think that you can't resist Satan's temptation. Don't think that you haven't got the resources to keep going. Jesus, the high priest, the great high priest of the church, is amongst his churches, tending for his churches, supplying the need for his people. And as the writer of the Hebrews went on to say, he said this: "Approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Is there something that you need to come to the throne of grace today for, in order to keep on going in your life as a Christian, in order to keep on being changed, to be holy, to be the holy people that God has made us to be and called us to be, to keep on being changed, to resist the devil and to keep going? You have a great high priest. Believe this vision. Trust Jesus is amongst his churches today, ministering to his church, making sure that his church can keep going and shine brightly. Come to him. bring your prayers to him, knowing that he hears and that he will answer your prayers. You see, if we ignore Jesus for who he really is, as the great high priest of the church today, if we're not making the most of his ministry, receiving from him what we need to keep on going, then we're showing ourselves not to be people of faith, not really to be Christians at all. And we face a great danger when one day we will have to stand before Jesus when he returns. So let's believe the vision that John had for the church. Jesus, the great high priest of his people. But more than that, we are to understand and to see as the vision continues that Jesus is the glorious Lord, Lord of all, Lord of his church, who rules his church through his word. We see that in verses 14 to 16. I don't know what's the most glorious thing that you've ever seen. Twice in my life now, I've had the wonderful opportunity of seeing perhaps the most glorious treasures that have been found known to mankind. When I was a little boy, about the age of 13, in the British Museum, the great treasures of Tutankhamun were brought across to London. I was taken along to see these wonderful treasures. And last year in Cairo, Jonathan took us to the Cairo, the Egyptian Museum, where they're stored more permanently. And there again, we saw the gold and the lapis lazuli, the brilliant blue and the different colours of the treasures that we find amongst Tutankhamun's treasures. They're a wonder to behold. They're breathtaking. But they're nothing compared to what John sees in his vision of Jesus in all his glory there in the holy place amongst his churches. Typically, in a book of sevens, John picks up on seven particular features of Jesus as the high priest that he then explains and makes known about Jesus that reveal the glory of Jesus to us. First of all, we see his hair that is white like wool, as white as snow. What's that tell us about Jesus? Well, back in Daniel's vision, in Daniel chapter 7, with the one like a son of man, the one who has white hair there is not the one like a son of man. He's not described in any detail, but it's the Ancient of Days. It's God. God, in all his wisdom and purity, has hair that is white like snow. And so we see here that Jesus is one with God. He is one in nature with God. He has all the wisdom and the purity of God. Jesus is one who deserves our total respect because he is one who is in very nature God, with all the wisdom and the purity of God. And then John picks up on his eyes and his feet, and they share a common characteristic. They both share the characteristic of fire. The eyes are like blazing fire. The feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. The eyes probably represent the all-seeing, penetrating knowledge that Jesus has, enabling him to judge justly and righteously, because he knows all things, he sees all things. Therefore, everything that he does will be righteous and just, even his judgments. And his feet, like burnished bronze, like bronze that is burning in a furnace, his feet will bring his judgment upon the world. He will trample out his enemies. They will be crushed under his feet in his judgment when he comes. And as we see this vision of Jesus, not just with all wisdom and purity, but with all knowledge and with his powerful judgment, we should be trembling before him. And then John points us to his voice, his right hand, and his mouth. And they display the authority, the power, and the means of Christ's rule. The sound like a rushing water. Again, this links Jesus to God. In Ezekiel chapter 1, where Ezekiel has his vision of God, of the Lord, there the voice that is like a rushing water is the voice of God himself, the word of God. And so we see here Jesus again is one who is in very nature God. His word is the word of God. And we see his word has power. We see Jesus in his right hand holds the seven stars. Now the right hand is symbolic of power. It's a symbolic of someone who is your right-hand man is the executive power, the one who carries out with power all that you command. And so we see not just the authority of Jesus, but the power of Jesus. And in his right hand are these seven stars. Well, to the ancient world, seven stars represented the sun and the moon and the five planets that they knew about. And sadly, in the ancient world, many people believed that it was the planets that controlled what happened on Earth. It's a bit like people today with their horoscopes. They think it's the planets that determine what happens on Earth, on the world. But John's vision shows us that it's Jesus who holds the stars in his hands. Those things have no power. Jesus has power. It is his power, his word, that will be carried out. Not anything to do with the planets as they circulate in the heavens. It is Jesus who has power to bring about the authority of God and his rule in the world. But Jesus also shows us it's nothing to do with the planets, his rule in this world. His rule in this world is through these seven stars that represent the messengers. Sometimes it says angels, sometimes it says messengers. It literally just means messengers, the ones who bring his word to his church. So we have a picture here of the one who has authority of God, who speaks the word of God, who has his message come to rule in this world through his people. He speaks through his message to his people. That's how Christ rules. His rule comes about. He will bring about his rule across this world through his word into the lives of his people and through his people. And we see that his word that comes out of his mouth is like a two-edged sword. It's mighty, but it's two-edged. It cuts both ways. We need to understand that. His word is powerful to judge those who will not listen, to cut them down. His word is powerful to bring comfort and strength to his people who listen to him and follow his ways. Today, as we see something of this vision, we're being challenged. Are we going to listen to Jesus? Are we going to submit to his word and his rule as the Lord of the church? Are we going to follow his ways? Or are you going to go on living the way that you want to live? Deciding for yourself what's right and wrong. Maybe about your sexual relationships, your marriage. Maybe about your time and your money. It's up to you what you want to do. Maybe about whether you actually really get involved in the life of God's church or just carry on as a go-it-yourself Christian, so to speak. Are you going to listen to Jesus, who speaks the word of God, whose word is powerful, through to his church, whose word cuts both ways? The final picture of Jesus, or the feature of Jesus that John picks up on, is his face. His face that shines. Shining like the sun, radiating all the glory of God. Christ is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And you know, one day each person will have to deal face to face with this glorious Christ. And that day every knee will bow before Jesus. Every tongue will confess him to be the Lord. The question is whether he will be your Lord and judge, or your Lord and your Saviour. The only right thing to do now is to do what John did when he met Jesus in this glorious vision, the great high priest of his people, among his people, the Lord of all, the Lord of his church who rules by his word. John fell on his face. It's as though John is saying, I have no righteousness of my own before this great Lord. I have no power of my own before this great Lord. I have nothing to bring of my own that can come into his presence. I have to simply empty myself and bow down to him and acknowledge him to be my Lord. The Lord who is the high priest of his church, the Lord who is Lord of all, is my Lord. And John falls on his face and acknowledges Jesus as Lord. Have you done that? Are you doing that in your life, day by day, as a Christian? It's a wonderful thing when you do that. Maybe you're resisting. Maybe you're saying, no, I don't want to do that. I want to keep going. I've got a little bit of my life I want to keep to myself. But we see here, it's a wonderful thing when you fall at Jesus' feet and say, I've got nothing. I need you as my Lord. We see here that he is then your gracious comforter and the restorer of your life. Verses 17 and 18. There's John flat on his face before Jesus. And he feels the gentle touch of the all-powerful Lord, with all the power of God, gently touching him on his shoulder to comfort him in his fear. And he hears the words of Jesus, not now as a mighty rushing water, but as a gentle voice that brings him living hope, restoring him. You see, Jesus is rightly to be feared, but he is able to comfort his people with his touch because he has the touch of God. He is, by very nature, God. He has the power to restore us and to comfort us. But more than that, Jesus says, I am the one who died, but who now lives. He reminds John that he is the one he saw on the cross die in the place of his people. He is the one who has done everything to conquer Satan, to rescue us from death and the grave, to restore us to be God's people. He speaks those words of hope into John's life. It's a bit like when a child is wakes up in the middle of a night in a having had a nightmare, petrified, and a parent comes into the room, scoops them up in their arms, their touch gives comfort to their child, speaks words of hope into their child's life, saying, it was only a dream. It's day, it's life. Jesus is able to do that for those who empty themselves and come and fall at his feet and accept him as their Lord, the great high priest of the church, the Lord of all, who speaks and rules by his word into his church. Have you done that in your life? Come and bow down to Jesus. Accepted him as he really is, the glorious Lord of his church. Don't live with wrong ideas about Jesus. as though he can just be your little pet Jesus, who you can go to when you feel you need a little bit of comfort, and you can just pick him up and cuddle him, and it'll give you that sense of peace. Don't think he's like the convenience store manager that's always open, that when you've got a need, you can just go to him. He can comfort you. He can meet you in all of your needs, but only first if you will take him as he really is, to be the Lord of glory, the glorious Lord of his church, who is the great high priest who tends his church, the great Lord who rules his church by his word. If you go on living your own life your own way, calling yourself a Christian but deciding for yourself what's right and wrong, ignoring his powerful authoritative word, then one day those blazing eyes will look upon you and you'll know he knows everything about you. One day those feet of bronze that look like they're in a furnace will trample over you in his judgment, because you haven't listened to him today. You haven't bowed down to him in your life, accepted him as he really is, your glorious Lord and Saviour. Turn from your own thoughts today. Turn from your own ways. Humble yourself. Get down on your knees before Jesus. Ask him to come and comfort you with his touch, to come and speak words of living hope into your life through the gospel. Listen to it. Receive him and follow him as your Lord. Let's pray as we come before the Lord. I'm just going to leave moments of silence. Maybe there really are things in your life that you need to come for before the Lord. Maybe as a Christian, a real Christian, yeah, there are things that you just need to come before your high priest to ask about and to pray about that you've not been praying about. Maybe there's some sin to confess. Maybe there's some strength that you need to go on walking in his ways. Do that now. Or maybe you just need for the first time to come and bow the knee before this glorious Lord and ask him to be your saviour, to comfort and give you living hope. Let's do that now in the quiet, and I'll lead us in a short prayer before we sing a closing hymn. Our Father God, I pray that now you would just move amongst us in our own homes as we contemplate upon your word, and as we've met with Jesus, that you would work in the hearts of your own people this morning as we come before your throne through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the one who tenderly cares for his church and enables us to be the people that you want us to be, that you call us to be, as holy and pleasing in your sight. Father, we pray that you would hear the cries of your people this morning. Lord, touch with a touch of comfort and strength for those who need it. Lord, bring a rebuke to those who need to be rebuked. Bring words of hope where there is despair. And Father, where there is resistance to Jesus, where there's an unwillingness to just empty ourselves before him and to bow down before him as he really is, the glorious Lord. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would just bring new birth into people's lives, that they would bow down to Jesus and take him as their Lord and Saviour, and so have that living hope in their hearts, rescued from the grave. The one Jesus has that power and authority over the death and the grave, and we can be held and kept free from the grave, free from death, to have eternal life. Lord, may we know that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. It's King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Let's sing this hymn of praise to Jesus.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty.
Love of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all his people of faith, now and forevermore. Amen.